Utu is a very important god. He would be a warrior god, and he's involved quite a bit with the earthlings and the mixed breed kings, the demigods. He gets hands on with these guys. Utu is also, you may know him as Shamish or Baal, the Canaanite, and perhaps Allah. That's very possible. Utu is what they used in Sumer, and Shamish, the Akkadians used it. And then you get into his other names. If you're looking at the overview on Utu's page, if you will look at the overview, you'll see all the different names that Utu is known by throughout history, such as Ningu Blaga, Numashta, all these different names from different civilizations at different times throughout history. So anyway, the Helios in Greek and the Sol Invictus in Rome, those are debatable. But the rest of them, I'm pretty sure of. Utu, to show you his position in the royal family, he is the son, and I guess he would be the heir to the god Nanner. Nanner's city was Ur. So Nanner and his spouse Ningal had a son, Nanner, or Utu, and at the same time had a twin daughter named Inanna. So Utu's got a sister, Inanna, and he's got a sister, in my belief, Ereshkigal. Anyway, others. His spouse is Aya, who there are texts that mention her as well, and she is the daughter to Ninsun. Now, getting back to Utu, he's the son to Nanner, but he's the grandson to Enlil, who is Earth Colony Commander and next in line to be king of all the Anunnaki. So, he is the great-grandson of the Anunnaki king overall, their planet, Earth Colony. His name is Anu, the great-grandfather to Utu and the leader of their species, of their planet. So that makes Utu directly linked to the king. He's powerful, and he's very much involved. He was born on Earth, so I guess he would be like the third generation on Earth, because you had Enlil who came, who was the first generation under the king, and then you had Nanner, which is the second generation, and then Utu is the third generation of the Anunnaki on Earth. Amazing. Anyway, some of Utu's temple, the main house where he lived, is Ibagar. That is meaning shining house. It's the temple in Sippur. Sippur is the city-state where not only he resides, but it's the spaceport for the Anunnaki. He is the commander, Utu is, of the spaceport. And you're not going to blast off for land without going through Utu, and probably without Enlil's permission. But Utu runs the place, which is interesting. I'll show you in a minute. So as we go through these different temples, you've got the main residence where he lives in Sippur, and then you've got like hotel residences, private residences in his relative's city. They would have a private residence for him, which would be called the temple. And so here are some of those. In Kiabrig, it's Igu Dagshar or whatever, meaning house with numerous perfect oxen. And then there's another one, and it goes on. It's worth reading the overview. Sippur, like I said, was the spaceport, and it's the fourth city built on Earth's colony. That's where Utu's in charge. The spaceport is, of course, where the missiles are launched and where craft land. It's also in Sippur, the place of the Supreme Court. Utu sits in judgment of earthlings often. He lays down laws to kings to be given to the people in the city-states. So Utu gets involved with creating the law, administering the law, and in many cases executing earthlings and disloyal kings. So he's an important, powerful guy. Okay, Supreme Court sits there in his hometown. That's important, tells you. He is the sun god. He's symbolized by the sun. In some artifacts, you'll see sun rays coming off his back. If you see a god on an artifact with these rays, it look kind of like angel wings coming off his back. That's the sun rays. He's the sun god who rises over the mountains. So the sun is, as it rises, is referred to as Utu by the earthlings. So he's symbolized by the sun. And the day of the week, Sunday, was named after the sun god, Utu. So you have Sunday for sun god Utu, and you have Monday or Moon Day for the moon god Nanner, his father, and other days named for other gods, just as zodiacs are named for other gods. The standard of Utu, well, before I get there, Utu, Nanner gets sick. There was a nuclear attack authorized by Enlil, by Enlil's sons and grandsons and so forth, against Enki's son, Marduk. And of course, Marduk is joined by his son, Nabu, and so on. So there's this war between cousins going on, struggling for who's going to be supreme god. Enlil is designated as Earth Colony commander, but Inky's son, Marty, thinks it should be him. And therefore, he challenges for some supreme position over the Anunnaki colony of Earth. And every time he challenges, they kind of, Enlil gets madder and madder until finally war breaks out between the cousins. And these wars go on and on. And they have their earthlings fight his earthlings, and earthlings learn how to go to war. And it's because of these cousins, Marduk and against Ninurta and so forth. And there are slideshows to that effect on those particular gods involved with those wars. Utu is more of the lawgiver and the, you know, the executioner, you'll see. He administers the laws. And as Nanner retires, because in these attacks on Marnik, there are nuclear missiles that were finally launched at him in his towns, at earthlings loyal to Marnik. And what happens is these missiles created, of course, a nuclear fallout in an evil wind, a nuclear wind. And in doing so, that wind went right to their civilization in Mesopotamia. They literally poisoned their civilization in Mesopotamia, the land between the rivers Tigris and Euphrates. So all these cities, including Ur, including Sippar, where Utu is, they're all going to have to be abandoned. And Nanner and his spouse, Ningal, they hang out too long. They don't want to abandon their city-state, Ur. And they stay too long, they get sick from the fallout, and he goes into retirement. Did he come back from that? I don't know. But he goes into retirement, and I believe Utu picks up his symbol of the moon crescent and continues his position, his father's position, keeping it very much alive and in place. So I think the son covers for the father, and in some cases assumes his moon crescent symbol. And you see that moon crescent very prevalent in the in Islam today. Utu is associated with laws and justice, and that means in accordance with the true word of Utu. Hey, if he hands down the laws through King Ernamu, let's say, he's going to expect these people to follow those laws, and if you don't, there'll be punishment. And they have different ways of doing that. Some of it's execution, of course. Anyway, the standard for Utu is the bison head. Bison is his animal symbol. His zodiac symbol is Gemini, being that he's one of the twins, Utu and Inanna, his twin sister. Inanna is the goddess of love and war. Utu is the sun god. Okay, Utu has a couple sons here. He has Nandera, who becomes Nanshi's spouse. Nanshi is a daughter to Inki. It gets confusing, but you can find all this in the list of minor gods, who's who. There's definitions and descriptions under who's who there and under the minor gods. Anyway, Hinduzaga is another son to Utu, and there's a text or two about him. He's the accountant to Nindera and his spouse, Nanshi. So Hinduzaga is like a helper to his brother, Nindera. And he's a god of law. Hinduzaga is, picks up after his father Utu on the law side. Zig Ziglar got a dreams, and then there's Wani, I guess, a possible son to Utu, and Aya, the spouse of Utu. Okay, Utu had a semi-divine mixed breed son, who, of course, was appointed to kingship. And he starts the first dynasty, or a dynasty in Uruk. Uruk is a city-state dedicated to Anu, later, more or less given to Inanna. But in Uruk, there's a line of kings that was started by Utu's semi-divine mixed-breed son, made king. His name is Meskiagashar. He's a giant mixed-breed, and he's the first king in this dynasty. Now, if when I go to Uruk and I look up different things there, I can find under Uruk kings, it starts off with Meskiagashar, and he's the son of Utu, became lord and king. He ruled for 324 years. Meskiagashar entered the sea and disappeared after ruling 324 years. So you've got a Nephilim, a giant mixed breed made king, who just simply was lost at sea. I would imagine Utu was behind that. And under Meskiagashar came a list of kings. And one of these kings, like the third king or so, is Logobanda in Uruk, who this mixed breed giant marries the goddess Nunsun, and the two of them have semi-divine mixed breeds that are two-thirds divine. So there are three sons born to them, two-thirds divine. One Gilgamesh, king of Uruk, one Ur-Nammu, appointed king in Ur, and another one Guda, who had kingship in Lagash. These are all major giant mixed breed kings directly related to the king of the Anunnaki through the royal family, Mother Nunsun. It's just amazing how all this fits together and how long some of these guys lived. So Logobanda, he was king 1,200 years. 1,200 years. Good God Almighty. So he was definitely one of the mixed breeds that got to live much longer. And these are the things that you can pick up under the king's list, and I definitely recommend looking in some of these cities, these city-states. So Utu's is Sippur. I don't have much on Sippur, but I have much on other ones. Anyway, the slideshow if you put the cursor on the artifact, it'll stop the slideshow and a brief definition will pop up, or description will pop up. If that description's in your way, just put the cursor on the other artifact. It stops the slideshow and you can view the full artifact of the one you wanted to view. So, and to start the slideshow over, just hit your refresh button. So if we hit refresh, Utu is going to reload, and the first thing coming off of Utu's page is a slideshow of Utu with other giant gods. And these giant gods are, of course, from the royal family who came to colonize Earth. Anyway, in the first one, you will see, where's Utu? He's inside his sky disk. You'll see the god in a flying disk. Remove the wings and it's a flying disk. And the god is inside there. That would be Utu. The next one, that's number 68. The next one, number 23, you will see, I believe that's Utu in his sky disk again. That sky disk is represented like a sun disk for the sun god. Next pair, again, you see Utu in the sky in a disk made to look like the sun. The sun god in his flying saucer. That's number 20. And if you look at Artifact 64, it goes on and on. These artifacts of Utu and these flying saucers with the gods inside them. Lots of Utu flying saucers. And then you'll come across number 6i, artifact number, and it's like a sketch of the artifact where the high priest is standing on top of Utu's temple or someone's temple, okay? One of the god's temple. He's a high priest. His head is shaved. The god's that way. The guy's clean. It keeps disease and lice and things away from the gods. And the high priest is living in the house of the gods. Anyway, Utu is the guy with his foot on the earthling. And he's got, in his right hand, is a 50-headed mace. And his left hand is another weapon, which is probably his sword. So you'll see Utu, you can identify him with his foot on an earthling or with his rock cutter knife. So in Artifact 38, it's kind of faded a little, but you'll see a 50-headed mace held by a different god, and you'll see Utu, the last one on there, with his foot on the temple, and in his hand is the rock carving rock saw. And you can go right through these artifacts. You can see how old they look and faded. So I try to give you, I suggest you stop the slideshow, and I try to give you a brief definition or description of what's going on there. But every one of these represents an actual scene that happened on Earth. This is important, or they wouldn't have made this artifact. And these artifacts lasted thousands of years. They simply took a rock shaped it into a smooth round cylinder, then reverse carved these detailed scenes in reverse carved, and then rolled it across wet clay. And so the negative is transferred to the positive on the wet clay, and there you have your first printing press. You have your first copy machine. And in these carvings, you can, of course, carve notes, messages, descriptions. You can carve anything you want. Words, scenes, gods, beasts, whatever the information is that they're trying to get out to the king and the people, you'll find it's made into an artifact. So as we scroll down, you see texts on Utu begin to show up. A hymn to Utu and so forth. Some of these are denoted a must read in green. If it's got one star, it's got something in there that you might learn something from this text. If it's got two stars, it might have a lot more to learn from in that text. And if it has three stars, it's the best information I've got to present on this website. So I really recommend reading the three stars and two stars. Okay, as we scroll down, Utu Shamish with the giant semi divine offspring. So here's Utu with kings and other gods. And again, you see Utu with sun rays coming off his shoulder, standing on his temple residence, holding a rock cutter saw. I mean, this is how you identify him. And he, many times, is standing inside the launch pad. And so you'll see, launch braces and brackets on the launch pad. Pole, you know, you'll see it. I can't think of the word right now. Anyway, you'll see many of these. Looks like a wall. All that's doing is trying to show you that it's a launch site. And as you scroll through there, you'll just get a view of how they depict Utu with the semi-divine kings and other gods. And then here comes some texts concerning kings to Utu. Three stars, I recommend. And if I write on there, I must read, and then repeat it, I must read. That's very rare that I do that. So, like the Myth of Etana text, and that's a double, triple star. I definitely highly recommend that one is read. So you got the triple stars and the single star texts. And the other ones, of course, I recommend these texts, especially the starred ones. That's where the information is found. Then the next slideshow is Utu's giant semi-divine offspring, Meskia Gasher. So here you'll see artifacts pertaining to Meskia Gasher. And I don't believe there's many. You've got an arrow here that you can fast forward or rewind. I believe there's only two artifacts here on Meskia Gasher. Then next is Utu's giant semi-divine offspring, Sun King's texts. Not the slideshow, but the texts. So there's Maskegashir according to Wikipedia, and here's Maskegashir quotes from a collection of Sitchin books. Then after Maskegashir comes his son Enmerkar, who is just another king. We're talking about 2800 BC for Enmerkar, 3000 BC, Maskegashir. Anyway, some of these texts, they've lasted thousands of years. They've been categorized. I've organized them and starred them according to importance. The next slideshow is Utu's sun disk symbol. It's the sun and his sky disk, all in one, flying saucer and sun symbol. And you can go through and see different symbols of the gods. And when you see the sun, usually the sun might be above the moon crescent. Well, the moon crescent says dad, the sun is him, Utu. So you just see the gods on the artifacts, the symbols on the artifacts, the giant mixed breed kings on the artifacts, and the smaller earthlings on these artifacts. It's worth the time to view them. So Utu Shamis is someone that very active today, I'll bet you, wherever you see the moon crescent or the sun symbol, you're talking about Utu or Utu's father, Nanner. And those symbols are everywhere. Even at the Pope's residence, you'll find the moon crescent symbol, and you'll find it in St. Peter's Square. That is a symbol that is very ancient. And you find answers to this stuff right here. It's amazing how it fits together. So I try to give you an audio to kind of guide you where to go and show you what I recommend and tell you a little bit about each one of these guys. Okay, I hope that helps. That's Utu. Thanks for listening. Fifty-one minutes.